Daf Chaf Aleph. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the source for benching from the Torah? The Pasuk says, V'chalta v'savato v'irachta. And what's the source in the Torah that you have to say a bracha before you learn Torah? The Pasuk says, Ki Shem Hashem Akrav V'ugo Del Elokeinu. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, we can learn two kavachomers from this. So by benching, which has no bracha before, but does have a bracha after, and a kavachomer that by Torah, which has a bracha before, then we can learn from benching that it should have a bracha after. And vice versa, that by Torah, which has a bracha before but doesn't have one after, then kava chomer, benching, which has a bracha after, should have a bracha before. So we're trying to learn from this a bracha after Torah reading and a bracha before food that they are from the Torah, that they are d'oraisa brachas. And we said, no, we're trying to disprove this. We said, how can you compare benching and Torah? Benching is all about food and physical benefit, and Torah is all about olam haba. There's no comparison. And we also have a Mishnah that says that a baal keri only thinks for the bracha after food. He only thinks the benching, but he doesn't think the bracha before. And we know that a baal keri is only supposed to think the things that are d'oraisa. So clearly, the bracha before would not be d'oraisa. So he said, yep, this is a disproof to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yehuda said that if you're not sure if he said Kriya Shema or not, you should not repeat it because it's Derabanan. But if you are not sure if he said V'yatsev or not, you should repeat it because it's Deraisa. Rav Yehuda says, whoa, what are you talking about, Rav Yehuda? The Pasuk says, B'shach B'chav Kumecha, that clearly Shema is Deraisa. The Pasuk says you should say it. And Abaya says, no, that Pasuk's not talking about the obligation to say Kriya Shema. That's talking about having to learn Torah in the day and night. And we said, all right, fine. Well, the Mishnah says that a baal keri should think Kriya Shema, but not the brachos before or after. And like we just said, the baal keri is only supposed to think things that are d'oraisa. So he's thinking Kriya Shema, and he's not thinking the bracha before or after, the bracha of V'yatsiv. So this would say that V'yatsiv is not d'oraisa. And it seems that Kriya Shema is d'oraisa. So he said, well, why are we saying V'yatsiv? If you're just saying it to be Yotze your Chiyav of Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, then you already said that in Kriya Shema. So there's no reason, there's no need to say V'yatsiv. So you say Kriya Shema and you do your Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there's no need to say V'yatsiv. But if that's true, then why don't we say V'yatsiv instead of Kriya Shema? Because V'yatsiv has Yitzias Mitzrayim and it's D'oraisa, so that would seemingly be better. And we said, no, the reason we say Kriya Shema is because it has both accepting Yitzias Mitzrayim, it has both remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim and accepting Hashem. Rabbi Lazar argues, and he said that if you're not sure if you said Kriya Shema or not, then you should repeat it. But if you're not sure if you said Shemona Esrei or not, then you don't repeat it. And Rabbi Yochanan says, wow, how great would it be if only people were davening all day long that, oh, you weren't sure if you said Shemona Esrei or not? I'll say it again anyway. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. That if you're davening Shemona Esrei and you realize that you already did, you should stop even if you're in the middle of a bracha. But Rabbi Ravua says that if you're davening on Shabbos and you realize that you're in the middle of a weekday bracha, then you should finish up that bracha and then go back to Shabbos. But this seems to say that you should finish up your bracha. So we answered that you can't really compare the two, because by Shabbos, really you have an obligation. You should really be saying the regular Shemona Esrei, but the Chachamim decided that it would be better not to say the regular weekday brachos and make mundane requests, because for Kavod Shabbos they said it's better, so you really do have the obligation to say those brachos, but the Chachamim said not to. But here, in the case where somebody already davened, he already fulfilled his chiyuv, he has no obligation left to daven, so you can't compare the two cases. Another teaching from Rabbi Huda in the name of Shmuel, that if you davened and you went to shul, if you davened Shemona Esrei already and you went into a shul where they were davening, then if you're able to add something new to your own Shemona Esrei, you should daven with them. But if you're not able to add something new to your own Shemona Esrei, then you shouldn't daven again. And we need both teachings of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. We need both the teaching that you shouldn't finish up your bracha that you're in, and that you should add, if you're able to add something new, then you should continue davening. Because if we only taught that the case where you didn't finish your bracha, where you don't finish your bracha, I would say if you davened alone and now you're davening alone again, then you shouldn't finish your bracha. Or if you davened with a tzibur and now you're davening again with a tzibur, you shouldn't finish your bracha. But if you davened alone and now you find yourself with a tzibur, then for sure you should continue, you should finish up your bracha, and you should say it again, because it's so much better to daven with a tzibur than alone. But we bring in the second case, the second teaching, to teach that only if you're able to add something new, even if you started off davening alone and now you're with a tzibur, you only daven again if you're able to add something new. And the reason we teach the second teaching, that if you only daven if you're able to add something new, is because if it only taught that, I would say the only reason he shouldn't daven with them is because he hasn't started davening yet with a tzibur. But if he already started davening with a tzibur, then yeah, finish up your Shemona Esrei and daven. But this is coming to teach you that even if you're davening with the tzibur and you already started your davening, the first teaching teaches that you have to stop your bracha. So Rav Huna says that if you enter a shul and they're davening Shmona Esrei, if you're able to finish your Shmona Esrei before the Shliach Tzibor, the Chazan, is going to say Modim, then you should start your Shmona Esrei. But if you're not able to finish your Shmona Esrei before the Chazan gets up to Modim, then you shouldn't. Yeshua ben Levi says, no, you have to be able to finish before Kedusha. If you're not able to finish before Kedusha, then you should not start davening. And we said that this is what they're arguing over. Rabbi Yochanan says that a person who's davening alone does say Kedusha during the Shmona Esrei, and therefore he doesn't care if you say it with a tzibur or not, because you'll say it in your own private Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that a yachid, a person davening alone, does not say their own Kedusha, and he wants you to be a part of the tzibur's Kedusha. So if Adbar Ava says, how do we know? He says that yachid should not say a Kedusha in their own Shmona Esrei, and how do we know? Because the pasuk says, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, and anything that's a davar shebekdusha, a holy thing like kedusha, needs a minion of 10 to be said. So Rabbanai says, how do we know that it needs 10 people? Because there's a gzera shava of toch to mitoch, that just like there in the mitoch is talking about a group of 10 people, so to here by v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, it's talking about 10 people. But everyone does agree that an individual should not stop their Shmona Esrei for Kedusha or Modim, that they shouldn't answer Kedusha or Modim while they're in their own individual Shmona Esrei. And the students of Rabbi Yochanan says that you say you shouldn't interrupt anything, your Shmona Esrei, except for Yehei Shmei Rabba. That even if you were in the middle of deep Kabbalah, you should stop and say, answer Yehei Shmei Rabba. But we don't actually hold like them. So Rabbi Yehuda had said before in the Mishnah that a Baal Keri says all the brachas before and after Kriyat Shema and eating food, he says a bracha before and a bracha after. But does this mean that he holds that a Baal Keri is able to learn Torah? That can't be, because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that a Baal Keri can't learn Torah, because the Pasuk says that you have to teach your kids Torah, and then right after that it talks about Har Sinai. And we learn from this juxtaposition that just like by Har Sinai they had to be completely Tahor to learn Torah, so too in general you have to be Tahor to learn Torah. And we answered, so Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't learn anything from juxtaposition, so he doesn't have to hold like that. Rabbi Yosef says that even if you don't learn juxtapositions ever in the Torah, everyone learns them by Devarim, which is where this juxtaposition comes from. And he says, even Rabbi Yehuda, who never learned any juxtapositions anywhere in the Torah, he himself would learn in Devarim. And we bring a proof that he would never learn in the rest of the Torah, because Ben Azai says that you get stoned for committing witchcraft. And how do we know? Because it juxtaposes having relations with an animal to witchcraft, and just like having relations with an animal you would get stoned for, so too by witchcraft you would get stoned for. Buddha says, no, you can't learn from that. That's not a reason why. You don't learn from juxtapositions. The reason why is because the Torah singles out Ov and Yidoni, which are two types of witchcraft, and says that they get skila. And just like those two types of witchcraft get skila, they get stoned for, so too by all witchcraft you get skila. And this is how we see that Rabbi Yehuda does learn juxtapositions in Devarim. Rabbi Elazar says that if you marry, that you're allowed to marry the woman that was raped or seduced by your father, and the father is allowed to marry the woman that was raped or seduced by a son. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a son is not able to marry the woman that was raped or seduced by his father. How do we know? Because when it's talking about, the pasuk talks about not marrying anyone that your father's robe saw, meaning you can't uncover your father's robe. We say that you can't marry anyone that your father's robe saw. And then Rav Gidzel, in the name of Rav, points out that right after it talks about not marrying anyone that your father's robe saw, it talks about rape. And that's how we learn that a son can't marry the woman that was raped or seduced by his father. So how does this make sense? Because Rabbi Yehuda has to hold of this connection by the Baal Keri not being able to learn Torah. So no, Rabbi Yehuda does learn juxtapositions in Devarim, but the one about the Baal Keri that we had said teaches that a Baal Keri can't learn Torah, he actually uses that juxtaposition for something else. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi teaches that if you teach your son Torah, it's as if you accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. But then we bring in a Mishnah which proves that Rabbi Yehuda does hold that a Baal Keri has to go to the mikvah and he's not allowed to learn Torah. So how does that make any sense? So we said, no, when Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that they could say the brachos before and after Kriyat Shema, and that they could say benching and the bracha before and after, that was all talking about hear. That was all talking about thinking the brachos, not actually saying them. But then we bring in another brisa, which says, Rabbi Meir says that a Baal Keri that's not able to go to the mikvah, he's unable to go to the mikvah, should say Shema without the brachos, and he shouldn't say the bracha Rishona, but he should say, sorry, You shouldn't say brachos for Shema, but you do say Shema. And you shouldn't say a bracha before you eat food, but you should say benching. And all of this is only talking about in your head, that by you should say Kriyat Shema in your head and you should bench in your head. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're even allowed to say the brachos out loud. So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Baal Keri can learn Torah. So that does make sense. So if Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Rabbi Yehuda actually looked at all these brachos of Kriyat Shema and Birchas Mazon, the same way he looked at Derech Eretz, that a Baal Keri is allowed to learn Hilchos of Derech Eretz, of being a better person. So to hear the Baal Keri, he equated them and said that it's the same thing for a Baal Keri to say Kriyat Shema or benching Shkeach.